couldn't believe it. See it for myself.
Happy Thursday. You are listening to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, and we're gonna be on a boat.
What?
We're going to be on two boats, in fact, because we're about to do a mega yacht smackdown. The Mediterraneo, if you will, to celebrate their respective birthdays in Holly. They've chosen to do so on a bigger boat, each of them independently. So I thought, let's take a look at these individual boat experiences and find out which person, which superstar, which mega celebrity has the better mega yacht.
You may have bought the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge. Edge, edge.
Edge. Are you starboard or aft? No, what is it?
What?
Aft. There's aft, starboard, stern. The different sides of the boat.
Oh, great.
Okay, anyway.
Well, let's look at their celebrity odds. So, Bradley, I trust you that you're the resident yacht expert on My Talk 107.1.
I am the resident yachter on the Colleen and Bradley Show. By that, I mean cruise aficionado, but yes.
Yes. You know of the website where you can go online and you can stock all of these yachts. You legitimately can go online and just put in the name of the vessel and you can find it wherever it is on planet Earth.
Yeah, and I've now taught you this this skill. So feel free to avail yourself of this skill as I tell you, because I don't know where they are. I will say last I checked, which was yesterday afternoon, both of them, the boat that A-Rod was on was parked, I believe, in Monaco, while J-Lo's boat with Ben Affleck was back off the coast of Capri, which is an island off the coast of Italy. So that being said, I thought, let's take a look at these actual boats to see like who has the better boat. Now, it is not going to surprise you at all. In fact, I would imagine you can guess who has the bigger boat. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's Jennifer Lopez, right?
Ding! Here, I'll give you one of these.
Thank you!
J-Lo definitely has the bigger boat, but really, the better boat is kind of in the eye of the beholder, so let me tell you about them, shall we?
Yes!
First, on the Mega Yacht Smackdown, pew pew, we have the 9 cabins and can hold 17 guests and 27 crew members.
27 crew members?
27 crew members can be on this thing. It features a central bar and jacuzzi, a panoramic gym, which I imagine means a gym with lots of windows, a room for massages, beauty treatments, a steam room, a Turkish hammam. Isn't that just like a bathhouse experience?
Maybe a steam room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boat Benifer, as it's being called in this article, also houses a cinema. And images from inside additionally show a Schimmel Pegasus. Do you know what a Schimmel Pegasus is?
Did you just swear?
No, I don't think I did. Maybe, I don't know. I'm too poor to understand what a Schimmel Pegasus is. It's a piano that costs around $100,000. And it looks like a piece of modern art. Anyway, if she wants to, you know, tickle the ivories while they're at sea.
Do you think she's going to sit on the bench with Ben Affleck and play Heart and Soul?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Chopsticks, is that the other
dun,
one?
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. So, again, this, according to Boat International, is a supreme luxury yacht where discretion and privacy are at the very heart of Valerie's flowing exterior design. Because did I tell you it's named Valerie?
Yes.
Okay. So that is the mega yacht of one Jennifer Lopez, $140 million yacht.
Woof.
279 mega feet, 279 foot mega yacht. Again, 6 cabins, 9 decks, 17 guests, and 27 crew members. It is a little weird that there would be like 27 people for 17 guests.
Well, I suppose if you're thinking, you know, if you're on a mega yacht, you're going to need 24/7 service. People got to sleep. People have to do shifts.
That's true.
And people have to take some time off.
That is true. I like how you're being reasonable when it comes to the unreasonably super rich. Okay, now, so that's Jennifer Lopez. Again, if you guys are just joining us, we are doing a celebrity smackdown of mega yachts.
Yeah.
Yes, get on the boat.
And to celebrate his 46th birthday, because, you know, J-Lo is on her mega yacht celebrating 52, Alex Rodriguez is celebrating his 46th on
the Ocean Paradise.
Oh, yes.
This $32 million mega yacht, also the location of him and his friends working out on the deck, where he's celebrating his 46th birthday, boats floor. Ooh. Plus water skis and kayaks off the back of the boat.
A discoteca.
Okay, so you can see right there that when you compare these two side by side, there's no comparison. Jennifer Lopez's $140 million yacht that she's renting compared to the $30 million yacht. I feel like that's a slap in the face.
Sure.
If you're going to try to be out in the Mediterranean with your ex, and she's tootling around on a $140 million yacht while yours is like a rinky-dink $30 million. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to end up getting capsized in her wake.
Yeah. And I suppose in this case, size does matter. But Bradley, do you recall a blind item that we talked about yesterday, the day before, concerning Alex Rodriguez and why perhaps maybe he's on the smaller Ocean Paradise?
Oh,
why
he's
even yachting at all? I got to paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of
me. No, but do it.
Beautiful.
Blinded by the item.
I mean, the thing is, Alex Rodriguez, even though he's on a smaller yacht, he needs to be grateful that he's on a yacht at all. Because according to NT Lawyer, our purveyor of celebrity blind items, celebrity gossip mysteries, he's saying Alex Rodriguez doesn't even have the money to foot the bill for the Ocean Paradise.
Oh, so how did he pay for it?
Mysteries. We don't know. Somebody's footing the bill for Alex Rodriguez's 46th birthday spectacular.
It totally would not surprise me. Although I will say I was surprised at the idea that he doesn't have a lot of cash on hand. Although, again, that blind item reminded us that that's the case, apparently, supposedly, allegedly, because it's rumor.
Yeah.
But that blind item would have us believe that he's having, you know, financial troubles, which is interesting because we all thought, like, wait a minute, he just bought the Timberwolves, so he must have a butt ton of money.
But there is another blind item concerning
what?
Oh my God! So many blind items so early in the show. Well, the other blind item about Alex Rodriguez, again, paraphrasing the celebrity gossip mystery, is Alex Rodriguez didn't even have enough money to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, so he negotiated a payment plan with a little interest on the side. Paying in installments.
What's the benefit of somebody selling to somebody who can't pay for something without a payment plan that you can just get out of it eventually? Why wouldn't you just wait for somebody who had cold hard cash?
You're asking me sports financial questions, Bradley.
Somebody will know. They're like,
well, actually, the amortized debt to credit ratio implies that there is a benefit.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some business reason that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Alex Rodriguez is a businessman. He likes to purport to be a businessman who does business things.
Well, and allegedly, supposedly is wrapped up in businessy things still with J-Lo.
Well, exactly. They still have business things that we're not privy to necessarily. Also remember about Alex Rodriguez, he's going to court next month.
Oh, yes. Because of financial shenanigans.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, if you guys are just joining us, we're talking about A-Rod and J-Lo and the Battle of the Mega Yachts, and clearly J-Lo won.
Big yes, she pew did. Pew. Congratulations,
$140
girl.
$140 million to A-Rod's 30-something million. I mean, it's like 30, now I'm talking in meters because the chart I'm looking at is from Euroland. 85 meters for J-Lo, 55 for A-Rod. I do feel like, though, the takeaway here is this is all for show because neither of these people own these yachts.
Right.
These are not the owner. Like, celebrities don't own their mega yachts, generally speaking, right? Like, they may have a boat or something, but this scale of mega yacht, it's like a mini cruise ship.
Right. The only celebrities that tend to own these kind of mega yachts are the celebrities like David Geffen or
people with insanely deep pockets.
Yes. And then they bring their friends on the yacht. They're like, oh my goodness, come on our yacht. It's so fun.
And it's a business expense. I imagine you're writing off. I mean, the person who owns Valerie, the yacht that J-Lo is on, is writing off every bit of, you know, because there's business happening, right? Like,
yeah.
My point is with, you know, the Battle of the Mega Yachts, what it tells us is, first of all, we knew it was going to be J-Lo that had the better yacht because as a celebrity, she has a higher status.
Correct.
I don't care if that's real or not. That's just the way that it is in the media, right?
Right.
But it's both of them are flexing their celebrity power and influence. Like, so Jennifer Lopez had to have a bigger yacht because she's Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Like if she, like you and I would be like, actually, I don't want the Valerie because it's too big for what I want. I want the yacht that actually has like the smoker off the back because I really want to make ribs on this trip.
Right. I or would like, take the Ocean Paradise because it had the super fun slide off of the side.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So we're thinking practically. That's not what they're thinking about. What they're thinking about is, how can I project as much wealth, success, and power as humanly possible? And although, you know, he pales in comparison to J-Lo, Alex Rodriguez is still on a $32 million vessel in one of the toniest parts of Europe at a time when other, you know, mega rich celebrities are you know, flashing their privilege.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it's a total flex by on the part of both of them.
It's extremely performative, extremely yeah. performative. And the fact that we're getting all of these exclusive photos of both Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez's summer vacation proves that point. I bet the whole thing is written off as a business expense for them.
Yeah.
In as much as it's like, well, I'm in the business of my celebrity. I'm
and unlike the rest of us who are increasingly having a hard enough time trying to come up with as many deductions that would go over the standard deduction, finances, these are people that can like write off all sorts of stuff because, again, it's above, you know, where you and I or most people live.
Before we leave, I do want to update you. The Ocean Paradise is currently in the south of France.
Okay.
And Jennifer Lopez's Valerie is off the coast of Capri, Italy.
They're still hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Get busy, you guys. What are you doing?
Yeah.
All right. We will have more on A-Rod specifically as compared to J-Lo later in the show. But when we come back, our good friend Holly Roberts has all the latest from Hollywood for a Dirt Alert right here on My Talk 107.1.
Dirt Alert.
And here with all the latest, it's our good friend Holly Roberts doing a Dirt Alert. Hey, Holly.
Hey, Bradley. What do you know? We got some celebrity gossip to talk about this afternoon.
Fabulous.
Let's start off with some good news concerning actor Bob Odenkirk, his son.
Oh, good,
yes.
Good.
Yes. So after the news broke late Tuesday that Bob Odenkirk was rushed to the hospital on the set of Better Call Saul in New Mexico, things were not looking so good. His Breaking Bad co-star Bryan Cranston was telling everyone on social media, send your good thoughts. We didn't get a public diagnosis on what was happening, but obviously his friends and family were very concerned about his health on social media. Well, his son shared the good news that Bob Odenkirk is going to be okay after an onset heart-related incident.
Okay.
That's all good. We know.
That's terrifying and scary.
Terrifying and scary. But his son, Nate Odenkirk, is assuring fans, friends, and family that Bob Odenkirk is going to be okay.
Good.
Yes.
Everybody say a nice little prayer for Bob Odenkirk.
Absolutely. Still send the good vibes to Bob Odenkirk because he's quite the funny guy.
Yeah.
Very influential in the world of comedy. You may not even know it.
Oh.
You know, goes back to the 90s. Mr. Show. Oh, etc. Yeah, exactly.
That's a way back.
Ryan Adams wants a second chance in the music industry.
Oh, he is having a rough...
He's having a moment on social media. Yeah, so Ryan awkward. Adams is begging for a record label to sign him after he was, told to go away in the wake of allegations that he emotionally abused his ex-wife, Mandy Moore, and sexually mistreated other women, including Phoebe Bridger. Now, he posted on social media a message that he has now deleted on Instagram. Please, if someone takes a chance on me and this music, I'll bust my bleep to support it. He said, sorry to sound desperate. He already wrote an apology, but he said now in his now deleted post, I know I'm damaged goods. I know I am. And they are not the ideal thing, but I had a label interested for months. They wasted my time. So basically, he went on and on and on.
It just sounded very sad and pathetic, to be quite honest. And regardless of what the actual situation is, it's just, it just is not a good look.
Yeah. Well, he was doing the thing, and celebrities have done it. your high school friend has probably done it. Maybe your neighbor has done it, where they posted things on social media in a vulnerable way, in a way that maybe you were just like, ooh, maybe that's not a good look. And then they deleted it.
Yeah. Which is also not a good look. So then it just makes it look even sadder because it's like, we still see it.
Yeah.
But now we see that you saw it too.
And yeah.
Thought like we did that, if that was uncomfortable. So now we're all even more uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I'm just uncomfortable bringing you that story.
Thank you.
So I apologize.
Let's run away over here. I don't know. I literally had to put that story away because it was like, I don't like that feeling.
What are we supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
And that feeling. And it's like, well, I suppose on a some sort of level, it's just like, I don't know, Ryan Adams, if there's a thought. These are the thoughts that you want to be sharing on
Instagram. Well, because like I get the emotion that spurs it.
Right.
But then you have the thought where you're like, but do I need to share that? Because does that further get me to where I want to go? And I don't think that expression of what's the emotion even?
Desperation.
Desperation. Yes. Absolute desperation. I don't know that gets you a record deal. No, usually record companies don't find desperation to be a selling point.
Right. The A&R person at EMI is like, boy, let's sign Ryan Adams again.
You know what? We really should just give this pathetic, bumbling individual another chance.
Ugh.
Again, that may or may not be a valid thing that somebody would do at a certain point, but I just don't feel like this is the theatrics to make that happen.
No.
What do I know?
Yeah, what do we
know? What do I know?
Let's talk about Stephen Dorff. He admitted that he felt bad for slamming the movie Black Widow and Scarlett Johansson, who stars in this. Mm. So he did an interview earlier this month with The Independent, Stephen Dorff, saying that he felt embarrassed for Scarlett Johansson for starring in Black Widow. Stephen Dorff saying of his career, I still hunt out the good bleep because I don't want to be in Black Widow. He said, Black Widow looks like garbage to me. It looks like a bad video game. I'm embarrassed for those people. I'm embarrassed for Scarlett. I'm sure she got paid $5-7 million, but I'm embarrassed for her.
Oh, again, maybe keep that up. That's an inside thought.
Yeah. Sorry for bringing all the secondhand embarrassment.
Especially just because, I mean, it's kind of debaggy just because like you're a dude and you're talking about a woman in Hollywood. That's like the look that would rub me the wrong way. Like, you're entitled to have an uncomfortable opinion. We do that all the time on this show.
Right.
Like, that movie was crap. Now, if the person who made that movie, I'm not saying Black Widow, I haven't seen it. I'm saying, like, in general, if you see something and have a strong opinion about it, as long as that's your legitimate, valid opinion, go for it. But then you also have to have that moment where you're like, but is the person in the room? And when you're speaking in that level, just assume they're in the room, because that would be an awkward conversation.
Right.
Where you're like, that movie was crap, staring at the person who was in the movie. Like, you're saying like, oh, I'm crap?
Well, exactly. Also, Stephen Dorff framing his career as, well, I'm not going to stoop to that level. I mean, sure, Scarlett Johansson made millions of dollars, but I'm out there with my art. Now, Stephen Dorff walking back those statements that I just read, he said that it was taken a little out of context because...
Oh, sure. we just were the problem.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's blaming the reporter for throwing him under the bus. And he says, I love Scarlett. She's a great actress. I heard she's going to be a mom, so I wish her the best. And she's an old friend of mine.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Just learn to keep your mouth shut.
Thanks. Didn't need Stephen Dorff to mansplain Scarlett Johansson's career.
I'm sure she's grateful. Bloop. When we come back, thank you, Holly Roberts. All the latest from Hollywood yet again. But when we return, we've got blind items, juicy bits of gossips with the names left out. We'll be right back. Oh, we love to solve juicy bits of gossip here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. Good afternoon. I'm Bradley Trainer. That's Holly Roberts. And we have a very special guest here for our next segment. We call it Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
Joining us to solve celebrity gossip mysteries this afternoon, it's Donna Valentine.
Donna!
From the Donna and Steve Show, 9 to noon, here on My Talk 107.1, Monday through Friday.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for being with us, Donna. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Because you're really good at this.
Thanks.
By the way, I don't have to do so much work.
I feel pressure now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's our first celebrity gossip mystery. Try this. This permanent A-list comic movie actor who used to do stand-up is cheating on his significant other. He's getting too old to do this all over again. She stopped indulging his fetishes years ago when they had a baby.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
This is some freaky business.
Permanent A-list movie actor used to do stand-up.
Yes.
This is a married person.
No, actually.
Oh.
But this person's in a relationship.
I have a guess, but I don't know if this person is actually married or not. So do you have any guesses?
I was going to say Kumail Nanjiani.
Look at that deep dive.
I don't know why.
A-plus, though.
Oh, A-plus.
Permanent
okay.
A-plus.
Permanent
now, A-plus. Not a diss against Kumail Nanjiani, but he hasn't been in the business long enough to be permanent A-plus list.
Okay, so...
My guess, his last name is a homonym for a body part.
Mm.
Is that right,
Holly? Homonym.
I don't know.
It's like a word that sounds like another word.
I don't think so, no.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, permanent A-list people who used to do stand-up.
Can I just tell you who I was thinking?
Who are you thinking?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, no.
Oh, good one. Okay, I'm thinking like a Jim Carrey.
No. Go back to the 80s. This person was a superstar.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy. Yes, queen.
Oh.
Does he have a fetish? What's his fetish?
We don't know his fetish, but NT Lawyer has alluded to this in Blind Items in the past, that Eddie Murphy likes some stuff. And Eddie Murphy apparently is cheating on his significant other. He's getting too old to do this all over again, says NT Lawyer, because his significant other stopped indulging Eddie Murphy's fetishes years ago when they had a baby. So it seems that Eddie Murphy
is... Well, remember, there's like that whole thing about... Like there were all those rumors about Eddie Murphy, and like he liked to purchase the experience.
Oh.
I don't know if that's quite a fetish, but
really,
right? Wasn't there like something about sex work?
I think so.
Yeah.
I also feel like he had a baby not too long ago.
That is correct.
Yeah. So he's got a lot of kids.
He's got a lot of kids. Yes.
How many kids does he have?
At least six, I bet.
More than that.
Nine.
Maybe.
I say nine.
You're going with nine. I like that.
He has 10 kids.
Whoa!
You
10
win,
children. So he has kids with his ex-wife. He has a kid with Scary Spice, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, put a pin in that for a later conversation at some point. Remember when we were talking about her 24/7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she was having some relationship issues and her ex was kind of a real hot
yes.
mess.
Yes, I do.
Right?
Yes.
Like abusive and everything.
Stephen Belafonte or Stephen Belafonte?
Yes, who like stole, I don't want to say stole that name, but took that name and made people think he was somehow related to Harry Belafonte, and there's like literally no connection.
Rude.
Okay, anyway,
right, that was fun.
Should we do another one?
Yeah!
Woo!
Blinded by the item.
We should do a cover of that.
Okay. We should. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I'd like a polka cover, please.
We'll work on that.
All right, we'll get Weird Al on the phone.
Please. This OG network cooking show judge who is known for his disdain of most of the cooking of contestants and often referred to a fast food chain in derogatory terms is now the official face of that fast food chain in Italy. Money talks.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, it's a fast food chain. It's not going to be something.
Well, like who's a...
A cooking judge?
That would turn their nose up at fast food.
Like, pretty much everybody, right?
But not on the food. Are we talking a Food Network food judge?
I think so.
I feel like Food Network people are kind of like, you know, they're not that bougie.
Who's the BAM guy?
BAM. No, not him.
Emeril.
Emeril Lagasse.
I don't feel like Emeril would turn up his nose.
Is it a
I'm having a hard
male?
Time with this one because I think of Guy Fieri and he would not turn up his nose.
Oh my goodness, no. Guy Fieri is a man of the people.
People turn their nose up at him.
Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri. We love Guy Fieri here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have his cookbook.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay, so it's a male.
Yeah.
It's a male. hell? Is it the angry guy like, you burnt the risotto?
Risotto. It's risotto. And you're thinking of Gordon Ramsay.
Well, somebody said Gordon Ramsay, but I don't know if necessarily he was a judge. But, you know, there's no clear answer here on who this is.
He was a judge, though, on another cooking show, I feel like. Oh, what was that? Wasn't he a judge on a competition cooking show?
Yeah, I do believe so.
I mean, of course, Hell's Kitchen.
It was a children's cooking show, I think.
You could say Hell's Kitchen, but that's his actual show.
How about the guy who goes around trying to save businesses?
Yeah, that's him.
Save restaurants. Isn't there another guy?
Yeah, and that guy got in some trouble at some point. That guy, you know.
This is not our jam.
No, all right, but I'm also going to tell you that there's this guy named Joe, and he's doing McDonald's commercials in Italy right now.
Joe what?
Joe Mama!
What?
Joe Bastianich.
Oh, yeah, that's Lydia Bastianich's son, I think.
Okay, well,
the Italian lady? Oh, yeah. I love her.
Well, apparently it's him. And he liked to badmouth fast food, but now he's doing McDonald's commercials in Italy.
That makes sense, of course, because he's Italian.
I don't know why McDonald's even needs.
And he's the guy, isn't he the guy that has the business with Mario Batali? Like that was the business that was just in hot water.
Mm-hmm. Babbo Ristorante.
Yeah. We went to one of their restaurants before all the. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Anyways, he was a judge on MasterChef.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's him. Okay. Right.
Phew, we got there. We got there. Sort I know there are a lot of food lovers out there going, you guys are really dumb.
Sorry, guys.
Blinded by the item.
Yeah.
The show is overcooked.
Medium rare. That's how we like it. Okay, what's next?
Here's another celebrity gossip mystery, Bradley and Donna. Whether he takes it or not is an open question, and his recent decision makes it seem as if he might still be thinking about it. But the game show host job is being offered to the athlete if he wants it. That doesn't really seem fair to the person who's still competing for the job.
Oh, no. Aaron Rodgers and Burton. Yeah.
Jeopardy.
Oh, come on.
We like.
Did we like Aaron LeVar Rodgers Burton. So much? Like,
no, I didn't.
I thought he did a fine job.
But you think he would do this job? Anyway, read the thing.
Okay, so whether he takes it or not is an open question. But Aaron Rodgers' recent decision makes it seem as if he might still be thinking about it. But Jeopardy, the hosting job of Jeopardy, is being offered to Aaron Rodgers if he wants it. Now, that doesn't really seem fair to LeVar Burton, who's still competing for the job. His episodes airing this week of LeVar Burton hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah. Like, can we wait till everybody's had their fair shot?
Also, it seems like LeVar Burton is the clear Jeopardy fan favorite to host the show.
Well, of course, because it's LeVar Burton.
Right.
Take a look, man. It's in a book.
It's Reading Rainbow.
I can do anything.
I'm not going to lie.
Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow. I don't even remember Reading Rainbow.
Well, that's because you're too
old.
That's because you were hanging out in the mall parking lot, Donna. Listening to Foghat.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. But was she smoking up?
Your age already like 30.
Yeah.
I was like, not on my radar. Yeah.
Lorraine came and picked you up in a Trans Am.
Lorraine. My mom definitely had a friend named Lorraine who had a Trans Am, and I'm not even joking. And you're not as old as my mom, Donna.
I might be. I don't know.
No, you're not.
All right. One more? Okay.
Blinded by the item.
She actually drove an El Camino. I just talked about this with her when I was there over the holiday.
Oh, nice.
And she was really cool.
Yeah, it was like, and her husband was like, you had an El Camino? Like, he was blown away. I was like, yes, because she's cool.
Yeah, we had a Camaro, man.
Nice.
Thanks.
Continue, Holly. Sorry.
A little warning shot from the powers that be to the Disney actress/teenage A-plus list singer. They're showing her how bad publicity can damage her in a second, and she needs to keep following orders.
Who's the Disney singer? Is it everybody's a Disney singer.
Well, this should be somebody because, like, I have guesses, but I don't know. But there's clearly somebody who is, like, was in a, like, in headlines for negative reasons, is what you're saying?
You know, I don't know exactly what negative headlines are coming out about this person, but perhaps they've already been buried and Disney's like, hey, you gotta stay in line with the Disney orders here. Otherwise, we're going to make things a little problematic for you.
Oh,
this person's hot right now. Hot, hot, hot.
Okay, oh. So it's not who I thought. Which was Demi Lovato.
No, she's way past being in the Disney sphere.
So this is still
not Selena Gomez.
It's no, you got to think younger. Who is like the pop star of the summer?
Yes, her name.
Olivia Rodrigo?
Yes. So popular, I can't even think of her name because I'm not young enough.
We're not in the target demo of Olivia Rodrigo.
But she's everywhere. I mean, the fact that we're aware of her means...
Yeah, she's popular.
That means she's popular. Well, apparently... There was a little warning shot from the powers that be to Olivia Rodrigo. They're showing her how bad publicity can damage her in a second and that she needs to keep following orders. Now, I'm not sure if this is concerning Olivia Rodrigo dating an older guy. There was a little controversy
2 hours
about
ago.
That.
Did you see this headline? Olivia Rodrigo is being accused of talking in a, quote, black scent and using African-American vernacular English in resurfaced videos.
Oh, wow.
So that could also
that could be
that blind item as well. So Disney's like, all right, Olivia, you need to follow what we have to say.
I get it.
Interesting.
I get it.
Interesting.
All right, I'm going to go.
Donna, you are literally the best.
No, I didn't even do anything, man.
But you did it all. I think we got through every single one. Remember the days when you would come in and we would just stare at each other?
I know. I'd be like, what?
Crickets.
Who? I'm on your team now.
You're welcome to stay for the rest of the show.
No, I got to go.
Oh, we've got a really exciting tribute segment next.
Yeah, you're going to wish you were here because when we come back, we are going to honor the memory of the greatest inventor of our age. Not Thomas Edison, no.
Not even Nikola Tesla.
No, we are talking about none other than Ron Popeil. We'll be right back. Oh, the memories, they come flooding back, and sadly, because we lost a great American yesterday, Ron Popeil passed away. Do you remember Ron Popeil? Even if you don't remember the name, you know Ron Popeil. But first, let us pause and take a moment to say thank you, Ron Popeil. He left planet Earth yesterday. May he rest in peace. But we thought, Holly, that we would take a moment to celebrate the magnificence, the innovation, the great deal for money that was Ron Popeil.
Yeah, and we're going to offer this tribute to you for 5 easy payments of $19.95.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember a great American. But wait!
There's more. Yeah, we say all these things because even if you're not familiar with the name Ron Popeil, you totally are. He is a pop culture icon. He inventor, creator of the Ronco Industries, the Showtime Rotisserie Chicken and Barbecue. By the way, Bradley, that invention of Ron Popeil's sold $1 billion worth of units in the United States alone.
It seems like in the cursory reading I did just in memory of our now departed friend Ron Popeil, that this was really the item that made him a mint.
Yes.
In a way that none of the other products he invented did. But there are so many other products. And in fact, I know you have a list, Holly, and I don't know how you were planning to do this, but if and when you're ready to read a big, long list or go through some of the items that Ron Popeil brought to creation or at least is responsible for getting a patent for, feel free to put yourself to some music and give us that big list. Because there are so many things people don't even realize. Like, oh, that's Ron Popeil?
Yeah, exactly. Ron Popeil did things such as the glass froster, Bradley. Did you ever have a glass froster? It frosts all kinds of glasses.
It frosts glasses. So yeah. You can have those fancy frosted glasses for your...
For your cocktail party, because this was the 1970s. You would come over and you'd have your friends. They put the key in the bowl and you give them a frosty glass of beer.
You're not putting keys in bowls at a Ronco party, are you? That's a whole different device. Anyway, continue. That was a revolutionary thing when I was a kid. The ability to, like, I'm on the radio. I mean, you were technically you really weren't on the radio, but they used FM frequencies to bring your voice out of the speaker of a transistor radio. It was magic.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and
testing. On the radio.
These kids are having a fabulous time with Mr. Microphone.
Oh my God,
cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires, so you're free to move around. Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
I can't even tell you how revolutionary Mr. Microphone was.
And look where we are now.
I know. And now we're actually on the radio. And everybody's like, what's the radio? But at that point, it was extremely life-changing, or at least made our parties a lot more fun. Okay, what else did Ron Popeil bring to fruition? Because a lot of things, came in the form of a home gadget, something that you would use in the kitchen. Oh, Ron Popeil, you gave us so much. Thank you for all of those countless hours of infomercials you brought to our attention and allowed us to pass the time with. In fact, when we come back, in honor of Ron Popeil, we want to know, what's your favorite infomercial? I don't even care if you bought the thing. What is the favorite Ron Popeil or just infomercial in general that you loved watching over and over again? 651-641-1071.